Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's time for a noon kick.
And as they say in Tinseltown, roll it.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and t-shirts.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday.
Tap by Coors Light. Fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:01 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Yes, the ladies are screaming because Brandon Sprague is here. Also, I'm joined by Andy Johnson.
Yeah, I'm here too. What's up? How we doing? I had some chili before the show.
Oh, so no!
Forewarning.
Why do you do these things to me?
That's a good point. I don't know. It was my only option. You know, I'm a leftover guy. I like to have leftovers for lunch. It was still in the refrigerator from earlier this week, and I thought, that's my only other option today.
Couldn't say, hey, I'm going to make a nice turkey sandwich and be clean.
Nah, I wasn't really in turkey sandwich mood.
Great.
You know?
Can't wait. I'm going to set this at about 1:15 when I really feel the effects of that chili that you ate.
I didn't drink any coffee, though, this morning, so you got that going for you. It's only like half brewing. If it would have been a couple of cups of coffee added to it, then you'd be in the danger zone. But, yeah, we'll see. This one could hold out until 3 o'clock.
Okay. I can't wait.
Right?
I'm looking forward to the taste of that. We've got a good show today.
Yeah, we do.
We're kind of, it's going to be a little squirrel everywhere.
Well, I got the feeling that everybody in the building is a little squirreled today.
Yeah.
Like there is, I don't think there's anybody in the office today that actually wants to do any semblance of work.
No, everybody's resigned to the fact that the holidays are now officially over and we're all back to the grind.
This is like our first official Friday of the new year.
Right.
Like everybody in the building.
The first full work week too, because everybody's had these choppy weeks. Either you're on vacation or there's New Year's or it's Christmas. This is like
true.
The first full week back. And I walked into our cubicle was full of maybe six people just standing around talking about Lord knows what.
You guys have the least productive office space in the entire building.
It's not good.
I can defend us on this a little bit.
I don't think it's your fault.
Yeah, it's not.
I'm not blaming you.
I came in yesterday.
But I'm saying it's the least productive space in the entire building.
Came in and I had things I had to get done. I was like, I have to get this done for the show. And I had four different people come up to me and either give me ideas, recaps, or just want to converse with me.
You know what we need to do? You know those little straps that go across the Costco lane when the big forklift thing is in there and you can't go in there? We need to do that in your space when you guys need to work.
For like a 45-minute period from like 10 to 10:45 or 11 to 11:45.
You guys can put on the neon safety vests while you're at it too. Like, we're at work here. For your own safety, please wait.
You know, I forgot to tell you, too. I'm actually kind of glad I just remembered it on the show.
Okay.
So yesterday, I'm leaving the office. I had a conversation with somebody. And as I leave, I get to my car, and somebody, hey, Sprague.
Hey.
He chased me down. What's going on? Turn around. And without naming a name, it's an individual we both know that works in the building.
Okay, I hope
not
we both
you're,
know him.
We're not super close.
Right.
But we know him. And they go, hey, I had a question for you about your show.
Oh.
And I said, I think I legitimately was like, I didn't know you listened to my show. What's up? He goes, well, it's not really about your radio show. It's more about you guys on the show. And I said, well, what's up? What do you need? And they go, do you think Dirt would be okay wearing a diaper and delivering things?
Wait, what?
And I said, what are you talking about? They then proceeded to say they're doing some new thing in our building this year where they're going above and beyond is what they're calling it.
Okay.
And this individual goes, for instance, they want me to dress up like a leprechaun for St. Paddy's Day and walk around to different clients' buildings and say, thank you for coming in.
Wait.
Okay, well, now I know who this is.
Right. Why am I getting
connected dots hold on. After that?
Yes. Hold on.
I'm getting to it. I'm getting to it. Hold your questions and your comments, please. So I then kind of chuckled and I said, oh, that's kind of funny. I could see you being a good leprechaun, to which I don't think he enjoyed that comment. But I then followed it up because I could get the vibe of like, I can't believe you just said that to me. And I go, so what is this that you want Dirt to do exactly? And he goes, well, we want him to have an arrow and a rubber arrow and a bow and we want him to wear a diaper for Valentine's Day.
Play Cupid.
And play Cupid and go around it in response. And I said, you know, I think that's hilarious, but I'm kind of offended you didn't ask me. And he goes, well, you don't look like a fat baby. And I was like, I wish I would have texted you. You need to name names.
Besides, the we need to name names here.
The whole world's seen you with your shirt off. So
yeah, that's not doing anything for anybody.
Well,
there's nothing new and exciting
there.
So
this is the genius.
He made quite a compelling point on dirt being Cuban. I was like, you know, that actually would be funny if you rolled in shirtless in a diaper going,
just get all fat and sassy.
Thanks for doing business with us.
This is our new genius sales initiative here. Yes. They're going to send people, in a diaper to companies to shoot them with arrows.
Yes. And say,
supposed to be good for business.
Give them chalk hearts and say, thank you. We love that you're partnering with us.
Okay.
Now, to be fair,
am I going to get fired when I lose all of our clients?
Nope.
Okay.
You are irresponsible of what happens if you walk in with a diaper and it's so disturbing they walk away.
I don't get paid enough money for that. I'm going to pass on that grass.
Well, this is the unfortunate part of the story. He said, do you think I could tell some people that Dirt would be into this? And I said, if you can find a way to financially benefit him, he's in.
Yeah, pay me and I'll do it.
That's right.
You pay me, I'll walk around in a diaper. I don't care.
Good to know.
Shame has a price,
You're
folks.
Damn right it does.
Shame has a price.
You want me to sell some boner pills? What else you got for me? I'll sell anything, all right? Come on.
I think you could do that.
Okay, let's go.
So I just want to give you a heads up. There is really a good chance in the next couple weeks that somebody comes to you and goes, Andy.
what's your diaper size?
Yeah, what size waist you got working there, huh,
Dirt? Those are some awful big safety pins.
I do. You need to name names. I want to know who this is.
Well, I told you they were asked to be a leprechaun. I'm not going to name a name, but you can put this together. We don't know them very well.
Oh, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about?
I know who you're talking about.
By the exit?
I do.
And listeners, you're not missing anything. If I name the name, you wouldn't know. So it's okay. Not missing anything there. So yeah, they're going to probably come to you and ask you to be Cupid. You can shoot people with arrows.
2019 is off to a rip-roaring start.
I bet you thought in the new year, I can't wait to be Cupid for
this
company.
I can't wait to do something fun in February. You kidding me? 1 month in? Let's get after it.
This should go on Facebook, though, if you do commit to it.
Facebook Live it?
The Facebook Live.
Instagram Live that thing.
No, we'll bring, no,
there'll
we'll
be
bring
some FCC
promotions
violations
people with
there.
Snapchat, Instagram.
Yes.
This is going everywhere.
This has got to be everywhere.
It is going viral, baby.
When do they plan on doing this, though? Like before? Am I supposed to do this before the show? Am I supposed to do this after the show? Am I doing this on a weekend? I kind of work right smack dab in the middle of the day.
Is it like a Thursday or Friday this year?
This doesn't seem like a very well thought of plan. If you are a client listening right now, would you like me to show up at your front desk with a diaper on?
Well, hold on. Does it have to be on the day? Why can't it be like...
Well, what am I going to go on a Saturday? I'm not working on a Saturday.
Valentine's Day is a Thursday. Just open my phone.
Thursday after the show. Absolutely.
After the show.
Would you do it? You would do it, right?
If they paid me, sure.
What if they only paid you like $50?
No.
$100?
No.
$150.
There's a decent asking price here.
Yeah.
For me to...
I know what your number is.
Yes.
I know what your number is.
You need to charge per arrow.
For me to just throw my integrity out the window completely and walk around like that, there's got to be a decent price tag on that.
The funny part was, he goes, don't tell him yet. We're still thinking about it.
You got it. I always love that. We get people that say that kind of stuff sometimes, like, hey, don't tell your co-host something. I had a former coworker reach out one time, send me an email, say, I got to ask you a question, but don't tell your co-host.
I know exactly.
And I read the email at my desk, and I literally turned around and I said, dude, Sprite, look at this. He sent me an email.
Yeah.
We've had a couple people in this building, not in the building anymore, that have done things like that to me and Dirt.
No. Unless it is an actual surprise or some sort of prank being played on that person.
Sure. At that point, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
But other
right.
than that,
right. you think
there's
I'm
no way you guys aren't telling each other right. what's going on.
I'm going to respond and go behind Sprague's back on something.
There was a person who no longer works in the building that caught me in a production room, and I was in the middle of recording a commercial, and, hey, do you got a minute? And I was like, yeah, what's up? And they just ranted about Dirt. I hate him. I don't like him. He annoys me. Yada, yada, yada. And he goes, don't tell him. And he walked away. What did I do about an
First
hour
thing.
Later?
Yeah.
Yo, Dirt.
There's no secrets on this show.
Guess who hates you? I'd rather know. than you to keep that from me.
Oh, it's fantastic.
So we got a good show today. Football Friday edition. We got two stops on the Daily Ticker. We would have really blown Swag's mind yesterday. We made three stops on the Daily Ticker.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been able to handle it.
And we broke about a minute and a half after the deadline.
I'd say 44. I'd say we broke about 44, somewhere in that range.
It's pretty normal.
Not bad.
Pretty normal for the Ticker.
Taunt me now.
I know. But we got two stops for the Daily Ticker. Kevin Todd is going to hop on. I heard he did not join you last week.
No, I haven't talked to KT in a while. I've had a couple of good gambling weeks, so without you. I think I am 6-2 in the last 2 weeks without you.
Do you want me to leave?
I threw five picks out last week, and I went 4-1.
Do you want me to leave?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll leave.
I'll make all the picks. Okay. You read the sponsors.
We'll call it Dirting Line.
Yeah, we'll change the segment up a little bit.
Okay, so KT's going to join us at 2:30 today, and a lot of football because it's going to be a good weekend in the NFL. Also, I reached out to Jenny Burdick, the Senate Majority Leader. Look at me. I'm going politics now.
Yeah, we're getting all political on this show.
CNN, Fox News. You guys better watch out. I'm next. And I tried to get her on the show. Did not book her. She was unavailable. At least that's what I was told. But I was able to get a quote from her. And we put this up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/1080TheFan. I tweeted this out. We've retweeted it. You can find it if you want, or I'll tell you what the quote was, and it's not going to leave you happy. I'll just say that, but I'll read the quote at some point on the show as well. Okay, so coming up next, I want to start in the NFL with an article I saw last night from The Athletic, and I tagged you on it this morning. Underrated and overrated quarterback. I just want you guys right now, 55305, who is the most underrated quarterback in the National Football League? And who is the most overrated quarterback in the National Football League? We heard from the defensive players, and we'll tell you what they thought next on The Fan. Got a funny game that we could play at some point today that I just saw on Twitter. So everybody's transferring now. Braxton Burmeister is leaving Oregon. That's not, I think, too much of a surprise.
Yeah, he's in the transfer portal. There's not a shock there. Shuck's going to be the backup next year. You got Millen, the other kid, coming in as a freshman. Herbert's coming back for another year. No shocker there.
So your transfer portal name is the model of your first car and the closest river to your house. So mine, for example.
Like the specific car or the maker of the car? Like a Honda or Civic?
Well, I guess if it's a model, it's not the maker, right?
Yeah, so it would be...
What would mine be?
It'd be
that?
Civic Willamette. That's not very good.
I'm not getting excited if a guy named Civic Willamette's coming to my team.
That's not much.
I go Protege Tualatin.
That's not bad.
That's a pretty good one.
Protege does it.
An athlete being named Protege is like, oh my God, I think this kid could be good.
Well, we covered yesterday in the portal's great because we found out Tate Martell's first name is Tathan.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Tate. It's Tathan Martell.
Right, right.
Right? And you heard that name before?
Parents have a lisp? What?
Maybe, or maybe they love Nathan with a T.
They spoke it on the birth certificate. It's trying to say Nathan, but Tathan came out. Just a mispronunciation.
My favorite comment I've seen, too, on the portal is we need the portal language to be figured out and everybody be on the same page. So, for example, Tate Martell portaled out of Ohio State.
Yeah, people are portaling all over the place.
And Jalen Hurts is portaling to Miami.
Yep, that's, you know what it sounds
Wasn't
like at least. Yeah.
Tate Martell the name of the quarterback in The Replacements who crossed the... He was the pro?
No, his last name was Martell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Martell, yeah.
No, it was Shane Falco.
No, he was the
scab, but the pro.
The starter.
That would be hilarious if it was...
I'll have to look that up because I'm kind of thinking that sounds familiar. Yeah, Google that bad boy. I'm curious on that. On the Braxton Burmeister note, though, I am happy that he's leaving. Not because of his play.
It's okay to say because of his play, too.
Well, sure. He wasn't going to see the field again. So that's kind of a moot point. He needs a fresh start. I think there's times with guys, you go someplace. I've looked at this with Myers Leonard now for a couple of years. You would be better served going to a new fan base that doesn't have a history with you. Like when Burmeister comes in and he throws one bad ball, the entire Oregon fan base lights him up on Twitter because of how bad he was as a freshman. And part of it's fair and part of it's unfair. So just for his sake, I'm happy that he's going to go somewhere, get a fresh start, go play in a community college or go to a smaller level school, get some playing time. It worked for Terry Wilson. I'm not saying he's as good as Terry Wilson, but Terry Wilson went to Kentucky this year.
Yes, he did.
And had a decent little season. So I think that's definitely the right move for him.
It was Eddie Martell, by the way.
Eddie Martell.
Yeah. So same last name. All right, let's go to the NFL before we go to the Daily Ticker. There were 32 beat writers that asked players on the teams they covered, defensive players, about quarterbacks, just what they thought of different quarterbacks in different situations. So, for example, which quarterback would you least like to face in a big game? Could you guess the top answer?
Least like to face in a big game.
Yep.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, going to have to be Brady.
It was Tom Brady.
Yeah.
52% of them said Tom Brady. Who was second?
Aaron Rodgers? Drew Brees?
I would say it was just from this season.
It's just this year.
I would say either
Brees. They didn't limit them to saying just this year, but right. Most of them voted
either
just
Brees or Mahomes.
Brees, Mahomes were runner-ups. They were third and fourth. The runner-up was Aaron Rodgers.
Hmm.
Another one that came in that was interesting. Which quarterback would you most like to face in a big game?
Most like to face Alex Smith?
Bortles.
Okay. So you guys took that approach. The other approach was what most of the defensive players did, and that was they want to beat the best. They voted Tom Brady in this, too.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
I'm very surprised you guys didn't go Nathan Peterman, though.
Well, does he still count?
Yes.
I mean,
he's in the National Football League. He got second because they went that way.
That's a cop-out. You can't. That tells you the mentality of defenders, that some of them are willing to say you want to face Tom Brady in a big game, and then the others say Nathan Peterman.
Well, you guys were in the middle. You were thinking about,
Bortles,
but I went
Blaine
with
Gabbert.
A current starting quarterback, though.
Okay.
You know, if you can name backups.
Bortles or Gabbert, I know I'm getting a pick.
Right?
This one surprised a lot of people. The most underrated NFL quarterback.
Underrated.
You know this answer.
I do know the answer, but my vote would be probably for Philip Rivers.
Okay. Who do you think the defensive players picked as the most underrated?
Underrated defensive. I'm trying to think how underrated.
I think you can make a case for Andrew Luck this year, too. Coming in with not knowing what he was going to look like. And
he didn't even make the list.
Medically, maybe retire. He couldn't throw a football.
Yeah, see, I wonder how. Boy, I don't know.
This one surprised me, but I can kind of understand it from a defensive player standpoint.
I completely disagree.
And I get why you would. Cam Newton.
That's laughable. It's laughable that he's the most underrated quarterback in the league.
Here's the one thing, and I remember Greg Olson was on either a radio show or a TV show, and he said this, and I thought it was a good point. Cam Newton does so many more things other than just going out there and complete passes.
Because he can't go out there and complete passes.
Can't throw it.
He has to do everything else.
He had a career-high completion percentage this year. 70%.
Stop.
What?
No, it's a laughable point. Like, I get that he's tough to bring down, and I'm not saying he's easy to game plan against because he's so difficult to stop in the running game. I acknowledge that. But to say that he's the most underrated quarterback in the National, this isn't who's the toughest to prepare for or who's the toughest to stop in the open
field.
Well,
I would say in a way it is, because if you're preparing for a guy, is he the most difficult to prepare for of all the quarterbacks you face?
No. He's not even in the top 10, maybe top 10, because of his ability to run. But no, he's not. He doesn't sniff the top 5.
What do you know? You're not in the field.
So to say that he's the most underrated quarterback in the league is ridiculous.
Okay, who's the most overrated? This one's fun.
Well, let's see. Well, it's Jameis Winston.
Ooh, Jameis Winston.
That's actually a pretty good answer.
That's a good answer. It's not the right answer. I'll give you another crack.
Well, actually, it is the right answer.
Who else would be the most overrated?
Most overrated.
Jimmy G?
Yeah, way to go, Kirk Cousins!
Kirk Cousins got the award of most overrated quarterback in the National Football League.
Haters gonna hate. What are you gonna do, you know?
And Ainer's going to aim.
Ainer's are going to aim, man.
the one I would have voted for got second, Eli Manning.
Yeah, well, I think Garoppolo deserves some credit here, too. The guy really hasn't done much in his career. He got a massive contract extension last offseason. He got hurt this year. He wasn't particularly good before he got hurt.
Right.
And I don't see anybody crying about that contract that the Niners handed out, but Kirk Cousins in Minnesota is stupid for that deal. The Kirk Cousins thing is only because of his contract. 100% pure and simple. It's because of the deal that he got.
Well, I mean,
and
that does kind of represent how.
Well, sure, but I can't blame guys for thinking he's overpaid. He is overpaid. Almost every quarterback in the league is overpaid.
Is he overrated?
How is he rated, though? If you go around and ask NFL analysts, where does Kirk Cousins rank as an NFL quarterback? Does anybody put him in their top 5?
Probably not.
I don't even know if he gets in the top 10.
There's probably a good chunk that don't even sniff him for the top 10. I don't think he's overpaid.
Is he properly rated?
I think he is.
Because the one thing you have to admit, though, is everybody has found his record against good teams.
Sure.
What isn't it? It's like 4-25 or something.
Yeah,
it's something egregious. But that when that came out, I think it just boosted it more. Now, this was done before I believe that was all released. And I'm sure some of these defensive players maybe knew that already. But that just added to the conversation of this guy got guaranteed $84 million.
Mm-hmm.
And top 10, top 5, sure he's not there, but clearly Minnesota and maybe a few other teams thought, well, he's worth this much money, and they missed the playoffs this year.
Yeah, they did. They didn't look good this year. To put it all on his shoulders is laughable. He's overpaid. The reason he got the contract he did, though, is because of the way the Redskins handled it. Like, if Washington would have just paid him like everybody else does with their respective franchise quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins is a forgotten guy like Ryan Tannehill or Matthew Stafford. Like, have you looked up Matthew Stafford's
record? Would you rather have Stafford or Cousins?
I don't think you're losing much either way. I think it's a pretty fair comparison. I really do. Wow. What's Matthew Stafford's record against winning teams in his career?
I'd be willing to say not great.
He has. There was a stat that somebody brought up last year when we were talking about him once, that he's like won one game on the road in his career against a team above 500. Yet nobody sits here and calls him overrated. Nobody makes fun of him. Like it's laughable to me how narratives are created by this. The reason Kirk Cousins had the contract he had is because he's the only quarterback outside of maybe Peyton Manning in recent memory that hit free agency in their prime. It just doesn't happen. And if anybody borderline a top 12 quarterback in the league hit the market as an unrestricted free agent, I guarantee you they'd fetch a pretty similar deal to what he got.
Can I ask you this question without upsetting you more than these defensive players have? You've stopped doing the whole Andy Dalton. You haven't done the Alex Smith stuff in a while. What is it about Kirkers that leaves you so adamant to defend him?
I'm dying on that hill.
Why is it Kirk Cousins?
I've been dying on that hill for 3 years. I can't stop
now. You had all three of those other guys on your hill, and you've given up on two of the three.
How do you like me now?
What is it about him?
I still like you, Kirk Cousins. I still like you.
I need to know what it is.
Well, the Andy Dalton one's done. He's done as an NFL quarterback, right? Can we all agree on that?
As a starter,
right?
Probably,
I mean, at this point, that boat has sailed. For Alex Smith, it was the blown playoff games. Do we not remember?
Kirkers hasn't won a playoff game.
Alex Smith has only won one, and it's because Brian Hoyer threw like 30. Well, he won some in San Francisco.
No, he won
with
in San Francisco.
Sure.
NFC title game.
Sure. With Kansas City, though, they went like 5 straight years, and the only one they won was when Brian Hoyer threw 15 interceptions. He blew a 30-point lead to the Colts, and they were up by 18 last year to Marcus Mariota and the Titans at home, and they blew it.
Wow.
Those are facts.
Andrew Luck is amazing.
Marcus Mariota amazing then, too?
No, okay. not amazing.
And how do you blow that lead at home and can't score a point in the second half?
Your defense sucks. I don't know
that's what
you.
It was to me. I think the Kirk Cousins story is still unwritten, though. That's the part of it that's funny to me.
Right.
Like, I understand everybody's bashing of him and their opinion of him right now because of the contract he got, and he was terrible this year. I'm not going to defend the way he played. The guy's still a young quarterback in the league, and we act like because of what happened this past year, that's the way things will go every year moving forward.
So who's the most overrated? Now, don't give me some generic BS. This is easy to do. Tannehill, if you want to go Stafford, like give me a real answer of maybe a good team or a borderline good team.
You could say Big Ben.
You think Big Ben's overrated?
This year.
Hot take. A lot of people love Big Ben. Good football player.
But he threw a lot of picks this year.
He did.
That's a tough one to answer.
I'll give you one. Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Drastically overrated.
Guy won an MVP 2 years ago.
So did Cam Newton.
Yeah.
You just need one good season to get that.
Yeah, Matt Ryan's numbers this year, he threw 35 touchdowns and 7 picks.
Statistically, he had a good year. I think it's one of his best years, but Matt Ryan for me.
Yeah, Matt Ryan would be up there for me. The interesting analogy that I do make is Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
I think Garoppolo is...
I don't know if he's rated enough. I know he got the contract.
Sure, but how is that different than Kirk Cousins?
Cousins has been around longer.
No, I know, but I'm saying, though, I think the backlash to Kirk Cousins is because of the contract that he got.
And
play obviously goes into it, but Garoppolo was not good this year before he got hurt. The Niners were a disappointing team. They got off to a bad start. Their first game was at Minnesota, and he threw a bunch of picks. He got a massive contract in the offseason based on a small sample size of games. And they were talked about coming into this past year as a team with Kyle Shanahan in year two that was going to take off and maybe compete for a playoff spot or compete as a wild card team, because he had never lost a game until he lost this year. That's one I would still look at to me. I think there's a lot that he needs to prove in order to live up to that contract.
Jimmy G bagged a porn star. I think a lot of defensive players understood that and said, I respect that guy.
They respect that aspect of it.
So The Athletic did a piece on how defensive players view quarterbacks in the NFL, overrated, underrated, who do you face, et cetera, et cetera. And Dirt's boy, the most overrated quarterback in the NFL. He's not happy with that, but it's Kirk Cousins, according to the defensive players that chose to answer the question. All right, we'll stick in the NFL. We got two stops, the Colts and the Chiefs. Big playoff game, and those are going to be our two stops on the Daily Ticker, and we'll make them next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in a Football Friday edition here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan, getting you ready for the weekend. A lot of really good football games. I cannot wait to sit on my couch, do nothing but watch them. And it's time for the Daily Ticker, where we go around and we're going to start with the Indianapolis-Kansas City game and the Indy perspective. Joining us now is Dave Calabro of WTHR NBC in Indianapolis, and he joins us now. He is coincidentally the far better looking, I've heard.
Okay.
More hair brother than our play-by-play man, Kevin Calabro.
He's follically blessed, huh?
Dave, what's up, man?
Good golly, Miss Molly.
How come you got all the hair and your brother missed out?
Well, here's the deal. I'm 5'8", and I'm a Chia pet. I grow hair everywhere, and then my brother is 6'5", and has no hair, so there you go.
That's an interesting combination of children.
That's the combination, man.
Hey, we appreciate the time here, man. Let's just start with this. Is this the weekend where the Colts continue to show what they were defensively last weekend? How are Colts fans feeling about this matchup?
Well, I think Colts fans are excited, especially the way this team has played. I don't know if you guys have followed them at all. The past 10 weeks, this has just been a freight train on a roll here with this defense. They're young. They don't care. They're the underdogs. They love that. They fly around. They have so much speed on the defensive line and the linebacker position that they really swarm to the ball. This has been a point of emphasis since they started 1-5, third team ever to go from 1-5 to make the playoffs. And so they're just having fun, and they have this swag about them right now, which is really interesting. I've been doing this for about 35 years, and it's just fun to watch these guys because, again, they're playing with house money now. Nobody expected them to be in this position.
Well, and whenever you play Kansas City, I think the focus is going to be on Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs offense, and understandably so. But really, the untalked about part of the Chiefs this year is their defense isn't great. I got to think the Colts are feeling good with the way Marlon Mack's running the ball. Andrew Luck, he didn't have to do a lot, but he was efficient last weekend. How are they feeling about ways to attack this weak Kansas City defense?
I think they're really excited about that point. The 31st ranked defense. You have Marlon Mack, who ran for 200 yards last week. He was just a battering ram. This guy is a highly tuned machine like all NFL players, but he'll go at you. They'll keep pounding you. And this Colts offensive line is the best one they've had in years. They really protect Andrew Luck. And you guys are watching. I call him the nutty professor because he gets back there in the pocket, and you can just see that computer brain of his just working, and he's just trying to decipher which direction he's going to go. A very intelligent guy who is very programmed. And I think they're excited about this matchup.
Yeah, Dave Calabro, our guest, NBC affiliate in Indianapolis, getting us ready for Colts and Chiefs. A lot to be said about that offensive line. Andrew Luck having a great year. The one thing I've wondered is how did Colts fans, and maybe even yourself, just as somebody who's been covering this team for so long, what did you think and what did fans think of the hire of Frank Reich after McDaniels leaves? And what's the thought and feeling now?
Well, I think everybody was like, we got the second best choice. You know what I mean? I think that was everybody's. It was like, okay, this franchise is just stumbling along. You know, last year was just miserable, start to finish. And the fans are kind of like, okay, here we go again. They don't, they did a lousy job in the draft. We don't know any of these young players they've drafted, and now they've hired Frank Reich, who was a neat assistant coach, and you know, has done the offense thing, but can he really lead a squad? And these guys have bought into his program big time, and it's just been fun to watch Frank work this system.
Well, and looking at this one, how do you think it plays out? Colts are a decent underdog. I saw some betting nuggets that they're very good against the spread as an underdog. Do they continue to shock the world this weekend?
You know what? I know Patrick Mahomes is an amazing talent. I was talking to Andrew Luck about him this week. He's one of those rare people. But I think their defense is susceptible. And I think the Colts can come in here and win this thing in a 31-27 kind of deal with Adam Vinatieri, the grandpa of the NFL, knocking one down in some snow flurries here because it's getting nasty here all of a sudden.
All right, give us we'll get you out of here on this one, Dave. We need one semi-okay / embarrassing story of Kevin. We need something out here in Portland.
Well, KC is KC's been consumed by basketball since we were about 7 years old. I remember him getting upset and crying about the fact that his mom and dad wouldn't let him stay up till midnight to listen to NBA games on the radio. That's the kind of knucklehead he is. Very talented guy and very committed to Portland. I can tell you this, he loves Portland. It was a weird transition for him to go from Seattle to Portland, you know, obviously with the rivalry out there. But he absolutely adores and loves that franchise in your city now.
Absolutely. Thanks for the story, Dave. We appreciate it, man. And if the Colts roll, we'll try to get you on maybe next week.
I'd be glad to do it. Glad to do it. You guys have a great day.
All right, there we go. Dave Calabro of the NBC affiliate in Indianapolis, his thoughts on the matchup with Colts and Chiefs. And now let's get the Chiefs perspective. Nate Taylor of The Athletic, the Chiefs beat writer. He's on Twitter, @ByNateTaylor, and he's joining us now. Nate, thanks for the time, man. I know you're extremely busy getting ready for a game. 4-16 are the Chiefs in the last 48 years. They are 0 for their last 3 against the Colts in the playoffs. What's going to give this weekend?
No, thanks for having me on, and I appreciate it. It's fun because, you know, history's got to change at some point, right, if you're a Chiefs fan. So a lot of this comes down to Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, who I assume is going to be the presumptive MVP award winner in February for the Honors Award show. But look, it comes down to, have the Colts faced an offense like the Chiefs all year? I think the answer is no, but it is snowing in Kansas City. I can report that coming to you live. So I think that helps the Colts. So I think it's going to be a tight game. But at the end, I think Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense are slightly better than Andrew Luck and this young team that's really fearless going into Arrowhead.
Well, where's this team at defensively? I mean, we were just talking to somebody from Indy, and they said they're licking their chops, getting ready to go after that Chiefs defense. We know what the numbers speak, but just health-wise, continuity-wise, where are they at going into this matchup? Because the Colts can beat you in both the running game and the passing game.
That's true. That's very true. And I think that the defense is as healthy as you could probably ask for, given the bye week, you know, being the number one seed. It looks like Eric Berry is probably not going to play just because his heel is nagging them, and that's been the case all year. Look, the Chiefs have played 14 out of 16 games with Eric Berry, and they've done okay. They've gotten pressure on the quarterback, and what they need to do is just continue to hit Andrew Luck as best they can because they do lead the league in sacks. That's their strength. They are shaky in the back end, but Kendall Fuller has come back from a thumb surgery, and they have a young rookie in Charvarius Ward who's played better of late. So there's a chance that they could feed off the crowd, feed off the energy. Let's say the Chiefs get an early lead. Maybe they can go pin their ends back and attack Andrew Luck. But this defense can be moved up and down the field, and that's what the statistics show. And much of these, you know, critical home games for the Chiefs this year really come down to the fourth quarter and who can, you know, win in a shootout. And most likely that's favored the Chiefs. But I think the points are easily going to get into the 20s, perhaps even the 30s, yeah, if the weather holds out the way it should going into tomorrow's game.
Nate Taylor, the beat writer of the Chiefs for The Athletic, is joining us now, our guest here on the Daily Ticker. Two-part question for you. One, were you surprised that they cut bait with Kareem Hunt versus maybe suspending him for the year and trying to rehabilitate him, bring him back? And two, can they reach their ultimate goal and destination this season without much of a run game?
Yeah, that's the – in terms of the offense, that is the biggest question because I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to falter in his first – playoff appearance tomorrow. I think he'll be just fine. I wasn't surprised that the team cut Kareem Hunt, and I've reported this in The Athletic. They were, I think, furious about his actions and the fact that he lied about it over the course of an 8-month period from that February incident all the way up until it became public in late November. In terms of what's going to happen, look, they gave Damian Williams a starting job. Spencer Ware's going to come back from a knee injury tomorrow. So we'll see how effective he is. But Andy Reid's pretty much going to put the onus on Patrick Mahomes. And in terms of being balanced, they're not going to be the same team they were in October and November, where Kareem Hunt was just playing at a really all-star Pro Bowl level. So they've got to be creative in getting, you know, extra yards and getting them in the short third-yard situations, because once Patrick Mahomes extends plays, that opens it up for Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and the like. So a lot is on Damian Williams' shoulders, but can he just be secure with the ball? Can he have another 100-yard performance like he had in the Seahawks? That would bode well for the offense. If the Colts make the Chiefs one-dimensional, obviously that makes things very difficult for Andy Reid, because we all know he likes to pass the ball the further you get into games, and that sort of plays into the Colts' hands, especially if they have the lead.
Well, and you mentioned, I mean, at some point the luck's got to turn for Kansas City here in the playoffs. Yeah. And I think a lot of people would agree, just looking at it, the quarterback situation drastically different. You knew you were limited with Alex Smith, and now the whole playbook's open with what Patrick Mahomes can do, and he looks like a magician back there at times. Do you have that gut, though, when you look at this and you're kind of thinking about predictions? You think at all the bad streak ends tomorrow and they get a win?
I do. And I think at some point, I do believe it's got to turn. And look, they have the MVP of the league, right? They have the best offense of the league. They average 35 points a game. So at some point, they should win a home playoff game in Arrowhead Stadium, which, again, hasn't happened since 1993, and Joe Montana was the quarterback of that unit. So I'm picking in the Athletic, and you can go read on the site. I'm picking a 31-27 Chiefs victory and a AFC playoff appearance in Arrowhead for the first time in the stadium's existence. I think the city is pumped, and I think they're fired up, and I think the defense can make enough plays get the team a victory.
Yeah, Nate, I tell you, man, I know the city is excited, and we know some people that are over there that are pumped, but we're excited to watch this game tomorrow out here in the Northwest. So thanks so much for hopping on with us and breaking it all down. We'll continue to follow your coverage at the Athletic.
Hey, I appreciate it, and thank you guys for having me on. And hey, the division around the playoffs is always great, so I can, you know, it's one more night to get through before football.
Absolutely, absolutely. There we go. Nate Taylor of the Athletic, our guest to break down the Chiefs. He says, look, history's got to change at some point. He's thinking it could happen this weekend. 31-27, he likes the Chiefs.
Dude, if the Cubs can find a way to win a World Series, if the Red Sox can end a drought, like at some point Kansas City's going to find a way to win a playoff game. The only one in the Andy Reid era, as I mentioned, was a win at Houston.
Right.
That Brian Hoyer was an 8-8 Houston Texans quarterback that I believe threw 4 or 5 interceptions, and they found a way to blow him out. The rest of it, it's been pretty painful, including one of, if not the, I can't remember, the largest playoff comeback in the history of the league.
And I think it was second to the Oilers-Bill game.
Second when Andrew Luck and these Colts came back against the Kansas City Chiefs a number of years back.
I'll look up that stat if it was the largest or second largest. We'll also dive into this one. What do you think is going to happen between Colts and Chiefs? It seems to be the hot pick is the Colts. Can the Chiefs take care of business? We'll dive into that next on 1080 The Fan. Well, I'm excited. 1:30 tomorrow, we get to start the playoff coverage with the Colts in Kansas City on NBC.
And I believe he mentioned it's snowing right now in Kansas City. Tomorrow, the weather, high of 34 with some snow flurries.
Give me that game, yeah. I don't want heavy snow.
You don't want a heavy snow game?
Give me the light flurries where the field doesn't get completely covered.
That would help Indy. I mean, you'd play like the Apple Cup scenario, wouldn't you? I mean, Indy and the way they've been running the ball and playing defense lately, you get a snowball game.
Yeah.
You'd think it'd benefit the Colts more.
Oh, if Peyton Manning was playing, it wouldn't, because he's an indoor
quarterback.
You don't
want it like a tuck rule game?
Yeah, that was a classic. Kicking field goals in the snow, the snow angels at the end.
I mean, if I had to pick, no. The tuck rule game was great. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying if I had to pick the weather, I do enjoy seeing snow in football. I don't like the real heavy snow. But to go against my own point, Colts and Bills last year. Remember that game?
I do remember that game.
That was a crazy game. But I kind of want to see Patrick Mahomes be able to operate as usual. And I want to see Andrew Luck not be held down by weather. Do you want to watch Marlon Mack and whoever the hell Kansas City's going to run at running back?
Or Kendrick West? Is that what they're down to?
I don't think much of anything can stop Patrick Mahomes at this point. So I'm not even too concerned about the snow.
What is it with Kansas City, though? I mentioned this stat to Nate Taylor, who's the beat writer for The Athletic. So I looked up, I read a story about Kansas City and their kicking woes. It's actually a really good read on The Ringer. And it's just really unfortunate because they talk about the playoff woes that they've suffered. Over the past 48 years, they are 4-16 in the playoffs.
It's not good.
0-6 at home since 1994, and they have lost. They've played the Colts three times over since 1995, and they're 0-3 against the Colts.
Well, look, I'm riding the dogs this weekend, not necessarily to win outright. I think a lot of the betting trends are going that way. I saw a stat from RJ Bell. I believe in the last 15 NFL playoff games, the favorite has only covered once, and there's been one push. That's it. Even last week. Last week, you had three dogs win outright, and then the Cowboys were the only favorite to win, and they didn't cover the spread because of that two-point conversion there at the end. This one, to me, all will come down to Kansas City's defense. You know, I don't have necessarily the same concerns that I did about Andy Reid and the Chiefs when they had Alex Smith. They were just limited to what they could do at times offensively. When you have Patrick Mahomes, he's just so difficult to slow down, and I don't see them having those issues. But the one concern for Kansas City that has existed all season, their defense is bad. It's one of the worst in the NFL. Against the run, I think they're 27th in the league. When you look at yards per carry, they're second to last in the NFL, giving up almost 5 yards per carry. So I can guarantee you I know exactly what Indy's game plan is going to be, and it's going to be similar to what they did last week against Houston. They're going to try and get after Mahomes, make him uncomfortable in the pocket. Mm-hmm. They're going to try and run the ball as much as they can with Marlon Mack, control the clock, keep Patrick Mahomes freezing on the other sideline, don't give him opportunities with the football. They're going to run it and control the pace. So it's going to come down to really Kansas City's front seven. I don't have any questions about, I know the Colts are playing good defensively. Patrick Mahomes is going to be able to score on him. I don't have any doubts about that.
You really think they're going to put up a lot of points in this game, don't you?
I don't know about a lot, but right. they're not going to hold him to like they did seven against the Texans last week.
The weather will play a portion of that, because I think a huge heavy snowfall negates a little bit of Tyreek Hill's.
Sure. If you've got a couple inches on the ground, sure.
What if I tell you this? The Colts hold Kansas City to 17 points.
I think they can win the game.
And then they can win.
I think they win the game 20-17, 21-17.
What's the number then that the Colts defense gives up where the Chiefs win?
I think the Chiefs, to feel comfortable, would have to get to about 24-28 in that range. I think if you get to the high 20s, you're feeling okay.
Right.
But it's going to come down to them in the front seven finding a way to get a couple of stops.
And that's a tough ask, because you're asking a group that has not had success this year. I mean, they just haven't. How many different games has that been a topic? I remember the Pittsburgh game months ago. I loved Kansas City. They were 21-0 at the half, mm-hmm. and Pittsburgh came back and tied the game, and I thought, geez, this defense sucks.
Or even the Seattle game a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night when the Seahawks ran all over them.
Right. And I just lead you to believe Quentin Nelson, I mean, how many highlight reels has that guy been a part of this year? If you follow anything in the NFL, everybody likes to tweet out something of Quentin Nelson pancaking a guy to the ground. I mean, he did it last weekend. He did it twice. A player, I forget the name of, and the other one was Jadeveon Clowney. Took him right to the ground.
Yeah.
Wide open hole for Marlon Mack. Who's to say they can't keep doing that? I keep talking to myself and saying, I think I could see the Chiefs stopping it.
Right.
But this dude has been maybe the best rookie in the NFL this year in terms of what he's meant to a playoff team.
Yes.
And that entire offensive line is just so revamped. Andrew Luck doesn't get touched. Marlon Mack can run free. Why am I being led to believe that's going to change, which leads to why so many people like the Colts this weekend?
I mean, in the way that they've been playing, too. I mean, you go back, obviously, to their slow start since then. I mean, they're, what, 10-1 in their last 11 games, I believe? That's incredible the way they've been playing football lately. I think the Colts, you can make an argument, they're one of the hottest number six seeds that we've seen in a long time in the NFL.
Right.
With the way they got into the playoffs, the games that they had to win at the end of the season, going into Houston, who was a division winner that at one point had rattled off a 9-game winning streak themselves. They dominated that football game. That was the only one last week that was a snoozer from start to finish, and you never had any doubt. They jumped out to a 14-0 lead, and it was, what else is on TV until the fourth quarter? So the way that they're playing, look, I don't have the confidence to take Indy to win outright. This just, to me, gets back to covering spreads. And if you're giving me 5 points on the road for the Colts to go cover against that bad defense, it's hard for me to see this turning into a blow. But if you do like the Colts and you want to go that route, they're 6-0 against the spread straight up in their last six games against teams with a winning record this season.
There you go.
They're, again, an underdog against a team with the winning record. Well, they're 6-0 this year.
And this isn't even something you can measure, but in all seriousness, what's the sphincter level on the sidelines and in that stadium if the Colts go up 10-0 or they open up and they go down the field in the opening drive and get a touchdown?
It's tight, man.
It's like crap.
This is where I think sometimes people poo-poo the notion of past performances weighing on this one. And I tend to agree with that because, especially in this situation, you have a different quarterback, completely different offense. Like, I understand that. I think where it builds, though, it's a mentality, and it's what you're talking about, is that if you get off to a slow start and you're down 17-7 late in the first half and you're struggling to move, the mentality creeps in for everybody, and you start thinking, oh, God, here we go again. So I think on the outset, it's like, yeah, well, it's Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes. It's a light years of difference. But if you get off to a sluggish start tomorrow, I guarantee you every Chiefs player has in their brain, oh, no, here we go again.
Well, and the other part, too, and we're going to break here, but the other part is – isn't not having a run game going to affect your play at some level? I know Patrick Mahomes has been great. I get it. He's putting it all on his shoulders. But you don't have a run game, and it starts snowing, and it gets kind of tough to make those passes. As you mentioned, the Apple Cup, we've seen how that can play a factor. Okay, we'll have more in the NFL playoffs, get to some other of the matchups, some more gambling tips. We will spray the line at 2:30. But coming up next to start hour two, I want to read the quote from Jenny Burdick, who is the majority Senate leader, and she gave me a quote on her position for why she is trying to repeal Senate Bill 5, which affects the Portland Diamond Project and that $150 million tax on the players. And I'll read that for you next. Hour two straight ahead. Dirt and Sprague back with more on the Fan.